Welcome to 100% Canucks from coast to coast to coast in Canada. This week, John Shannon and Landon Ferraro on the show as usual. I am on Prince Edward Island at Mill River Resort, where the Summerside Boys and Girls Club have their annual golf tournament. It's one of the great spectaculars. It goes for 4 days, folks. And trust me, when I say it goes, it really goes. It's one of the great events. Some really, really good people on PEI that look after us, and some of the great players of the game are around to sit and talk hockey and have a good time. But this is 100% Canucks, not 100% PEI. And tonight, when we get back, Landon will join us a little later on, and we'll talk about his life as a draft pick and what he went through at the combine. But first we talked to Braden Coutts, the number 15 pick overall in the 2025 draft by the Canucks from his house in Sherwood Park, Alberta. That's Braden Coutts, then Landon and me on 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it. And enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. John Shannon here. Landon Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. I'm joined now by the 15th pick overall in the 2025 draft, Braden Coutts, Sherwood Park, Alberta native, and a Vancouver Canuck. How does that Vancouver Canuck title sound to you, Braden?
Sounds pretty cool. It's still doesn't even it's still doesn't feel that real, honestly. It's pretty cool. Trying to soak it all in, but yeah, it's obviously it's really cool.
What's life been like since the draft?
It's been good. Just trying to train as much as I can, get on the ice. Obviously, being in the gym as much as possible, and then getting ready for the World Junior Camp. So yeah.
So there's a few other young guys in and around the Edmonton area. Who are you training with?
I train with Barry Butt. That's my off-ice trainer. And then I skate with guys like Matt Savoy, Dylan Gunther, Gooley, kind of guys like that. So, yeah.
Now, who's asking more questions? Are you asking them more questions or are they asking you?
No, I think I'm asking a few more. So.
And so a guy like Caden Gooley, kind of cool. I first of all, I think he's a pretty good defenseman. What's he able to tell you about life in Montreal or life in the NHL?
Just how hard it is. I mean, I haven't really asked him too much about it so far. Just been skating with them now for a week and a half, 2 weeks since I've been back. So, but yeah, I mean, when you skate with guys like that, you just see how hard it is that, you know, what level you have to get to. And, everyone in the NHL is as good as that. So it's just that hard to make it.
Take me back to Buffalo and the combine. Obviously, there's the fitness workout and all the testing. How many teams did you interview for?
27.
Wow. That would have been you would have been at the top end interviewing for teams then.
Yeah, it was a lot of repeating yourself and saying a lot of the same things over and over, but it was still really cool. You got to meet a lot of cool people that work in hockey, so yeah, it was lots of fun.
I'm curious, was there a question that you wondered why the heck are they asking me that?
Not really. I think Ottawa, they asked me to tell them a joke, and I just simply didn't have one. I didn't know what to say. Honestly, I couldn't think of anything.
And so when you left the Vancouver interview with all those guys, what was your thought process?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I went for dinner with them the night before, so it was just kind of seeing them again. But yeah, it was good. It wasn't nothing too crazy of questions or grilling me, anything like that. It was just asking me about, you know, my personal life and how I am as a player. But yeah, it was really good.
Well, okay, let's just carry that on. I don't care about your personal life. What kind of player are you?
I would say I'm a, you know, 200-foot centerman that competes really hard and has a good hockey sense and good skill, and just a really competitive guy that wants to win and is a leader as well. So I think I'm just really overall a complete player.
Where does that leadership come from? When are you one of those guys that was, when you were 8 years old, you were organizing stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty natural. I mean, probably the way I was raised too. And also just, you know, trying not to be someone you're not, just being myself. You know, I'm not the loudest person in any room, but, you know, I'll speak up, obviously. And I'd say I lead by example with just how I work.
And what's life been like for you in Seattle?
Been great. Yeah, I love it in Seattle. Plans to go back there next year. And yeah, I love my coaches, you know, management, you know, my Billets teammates. Couldn't ask for a better place to play.
It's funny now, Seattle's become such a hockey hotbed when you think that the Thunderbirds, your team, is there. Obviously, the Kraken have taken over. The Silvertips and Everett aren't that far away. You're not going to a place that you feel like you're an island and not in the hockey world, are you?
No, not at all. There's, a ton of people love hockey there. Like you said, with the Kraken, it's gone really big. I think we have possibly the best fans in the league. I mean, you could ask anybody. When they come play us, it's a pretty crazy building. It's loud. They're so passionate. So, yeah, it's tons of fun playing there.
Now, tell the truth. You sneak out to Seahawks games?
No, I haven't, actually.
What? How does that work?
I want to. I probably will this year, though. It's just we don't have much time at the start of the year. It's really busy. So, try to get out this year.
Have you become a Seahawks fan, though?
A bit, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I'm not the biggest – you know, football knowledge guys. So
it's all right.
Same with baseball. So I've kind of just taken over, you know, with the Mariners and Seahawks. So, yeah.
Hey, so that leads me to a question is being fully consumed with this sport just dominate your lifestyle?
I mean, yeah, it is my life. That's for sure. I mean, I love it. There's nothing else I want to do. But at the same time, you have to, you know, disconnect here and there to you know, have a healthy mind, I guess you could say. I love to golf. That's a big one. You know, wake surfing too, going out to the lake. But yeah, I mean, my whole life's pretty much all 95% of it is just all hockey for sure.
What's your handicap?
7.
Oh, I'm not talking to you anymore. Where do you play in Edmonton?
Everywhere, really. Next year, I mean, I want to get a membership next year.
Yeah, you can afford it now.
Yeah, that's the pretty much the reason why I would have got one, but obviously at the start of the summer didn't have any. You couldn't really buy one, so. But yeah, pretty much everywhere. I mean, I try to get out as many courses and as much as I can. But yeah, next year I'll for sure pick a spot to go to.
Okay, so you're going to the Vancouver Canucks eventually. You're going back to Seattle. You grew up in the suburbs of Edmonton. That means you're an Oilers fan?
I mean, not anymore, but...
You were?
Yeah, I used to be.
And when you talk about a 200-foot center, are we talking Ryan Nugent-Hopkins?
I mean, yeah, he's a great player. Been watching him since I could remember. He's been there forever now. So, yeah, he's a guy I like to watch growing up.
Can you – now, there is something really cool about this, that at a certain point – Ryan's still young enough that when you make your regular season NHL debut, you're going to play against the Edmonton Oilers and you're going to play against Ryan Nugent Hopkins. That has got to be one of the cool things going.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, even I might hopefully maybe get a preseason game or so this year. And, if I play the Oilers, you never know who's in the lineup. It could be maybe Drysdale, McDavid, or Nugent Hopkins. So I'm not there yet, but if that happens, it'll probably feel like a video game. Wouldn't even feel real, but it'll be super cool.
And the only reason I picked Nugent Hopkins, and that's, I mean, obviously you can be a Connor McDavid fan or a Leon Draisaitl fan too, but if you describe yourself as a 200-foot player, of those three guys, I think he's closer to being described as a 200-foot player. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, where are you killing penalties in power play? Where does that fit into your game?
It's in big. I mean, I play PK, I play power play. I've been killing penalties my whole life. I love it. It frustrates the other team's top players, and you can also score goals and create offense off of the penalty kill as well. So, I've been a PKer my whole life.
So what kind of team will you have in Seattle next year?
Hopefully better than this year. Hopefully we take a big step. We had a really good second half to the year, and we're able to make the playoffs and had one of the better records in the league in the second half. So hopefully just trying to keep that going.
So during your this time going through the combine and going through what you went on in L.A., it really appeared that this group of first-rounders, particularly the Friday night show, really seemed to bond. You seemed to really have a lot in common. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of centers. a lot of Western leaguers and Canadians too. Right. So knew a lot of the guys that went in the first round, and we're really excited for them.
Were a few of those guys on your Hlinka team?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them were, and under 18s as well.
Yeah. What was the under 18 and the Hlinka experiences? What were they like?
They were awesome. I mean, we won gold in both of them, so it doesn't really get any better. But anytime you get to put on the Canadian flag and play for your country is a huge honor and brings the best out of you. And getting to play with, people across the country that you haven't been able to play with before. And, getting to compete for gold, obviously.
And now I'm going to ask you an unfair question because we're here to talk about you. But how good is Gavin McKenna?
He's pretty good. I know a lot. He's obviously, he probably would have even went first this year in our draft, or even pretty high in the one before. So obviously going to Penn State next year, he's going to do really well. And great, great player, but even better person.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm curious. As a kid at your age, you have to make a conscious decision prior to this year to decide whether you want to go to college and play, or you want to play in major junior, or you want to play in the AJ or in the BC league in order to try to maintain your eligibility. But that's changed. Has that changed your thinking process at all?
No, not really. I mean, I chose the WHL for a reason, and it hasn't disappointed me one bit. Going to Seattle, like I said, was one of the best things that could ever happen to me. Once the rule changed, I looked into it a little bit. Just, you want to make sure you look at other options, but it didn't really interest me too much at all, honestly, and wanted to stay in Seattle.
And I'm sure there was a few universities and colleges phoning too, right?
Yeah, there's a few, yeah.
you can't tell us it was Michigan State?
Maybe I don't know, because my agent, I just told him to stop even responding, so I didn't really care too much.
Actually, so that's a curious thing. Jerry Johansson's your agent. What does an agent do for an 18-year-old? I mean, the contract's done. What are your expectations of that relationship with your agent?
Yeah, just somebody you can talk to. I mean, I have a lot of guys like Scott Bonner, Jason Nicolats. I was with, you know, Jason when I was younger, and then obviously still with him when they moved to TSC, and right. Now I'm with, you know, with Jerry and Scotty and Manny. I kind of have a whole crew that, you know, helped me out, and just somebody that's there for you, you know, in your corner that will go to battle for you, defend you, and try to, you know, help you be the best player you can be.
So when the phone call came saying you had a new contract, what was that like?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, obviously that was one of my goals. I wanted to obviously get that, you know, a guy, since I'm not going to school, you know, I was kind of honestly, my Jason, he called me when I was on the plane about going home from Vancouver from the camp, and he asked me how it was, and I told him it was, you know, awesome and lots of fun. And then he told me that they wanted to sign me. So that was really cool. And yeah.
What was camp like? What'd you figure? What jumped out at you as something that, gosh, just, I now am a member of the Vancouver Canucks.
I mean, the whole thing, when you just show up and you casually meet the Sedins and, you know, like everyone there, the GMs, you know, you're in the locker room, you know, at the arena, which you're not a fan anymore. You're like a prospect. You're like one of the players. So, it's a different feeling for sure. And, something I'll never forget.
They have cooking lessons for you. Is that what did you do? What did you do?
Yeah, we did like a little cooking contest kind of thing, which is something different. And I've seen a few other teams do it as well. So something, you know, to kind of, I don't know, learn how to cook, I guess, a little bit, and competition.
When you're in Seattle, you rely on your billets too much. How is your cooking?
It's not terrible. I mean, I cooked, you know, the standard things, you know, some pasta, eggs, you know, but nothing, steak, burgers, all that. But I wouldn't call myself a chef, but yeah.
Yeah. And you talked about meeting Daniel and Henrik. I need you to be fully honest and transparent. How far behind were you in the gross grind?
Well, they actually gave us like, I think, a 5-10 minute head start. And then I forget if it was Daniel or Henrik that one of them passed me near the top. And then the other one finished at the same time as me. So, yeah, they're crazy. We pulled up in the bus and they were already standing there at the bottom of the hill waiting for us. So, they're a freak of natures, and they're in really good shape for, you know, how old they are.
Like really old. They're really old guys.
I wouldn't say that, but just they're in.
Well, they're in great shape.
Oh yeah.
And the grind, you know, you're going to have to do the grind for a couple more years, it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, that's, have to keep doing that.
So tell me about your family. Your brother, Sean, is he still playing?
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't really know what he's doing yet next year. He might go back to Drumheller. He might even go to Spokane's camp. They have his rights, so... But yeah, he's still playing. He's going into his last season at junior.
Was that always the competition, the forward against the goaltender?
Yeah, for sure. Help for, you know, having a goalie growing up is a lot of people probably wish they had that. Something that you could always shoot on at the outdoor rink or bring out to skates. So yeah, it's for sure competitive and a lot of chirping when I'm playing against him.
And who wins?
Me, of course.
Okay, well, when Sean shows up, we'll ask him one day whether who wins. We might get a little different story.
I don't know. We'll see.
Who do you pat in your game after?
I like Braden Point on Tampa. Just kind of, you know, not the biggest guy, not the smallest, but so smart, skilled, fast. You know, a guy that can win two Stanley Cups and is just a complete player.
He does so many things well that it's difficult to think that he has any flaws. And you know, the way you describe yourself, he seems to play in every type of situation as well, just like you.
Yeah, I mean, I try to, that's just how I play, honestly. You know, I play last minute of the game if we're trying to score or defend a goal, or if it's the penalty kill or if it's the power play. So being reliable in any situation is key.
So we are going to do an interview with you a year from now on this show, 100% Canucks. Are we talking about realistically you being on the Vancouver Canucks roster in September and October of 2026? Is that your goal?
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's something that, you know, I want to be on that team. I mean, obviously it's super hard. It's difficult. You don't want to be a time traveler either. You want to stay in the present and take everything day by day and keep working. But I believe that, you know, I could do that. But if I'm not ready, I'm not. And but yeah, I hope to be, yes.
What are your workouts like?
They're good. I mean, I said, I worked out with Barry Butt. Been with him, I think it's my fourth or fifth year. They're great. He's the best. I mean, he has almost every pro guy in Edmonton. And yeah, he's a big reason of, you know, the player I am today.
What's he pushing you on?
I mean, just everything. I mean, I wouldn't say I have one, you know, thing that I needed. Like, it's just overall everything. Stronger, faster, conditioning, quickness. But yeah, he pushes you hard, that's for sure.
So between 16 and 18, how much weight have you put on?
The end of my 16-year-old season, I think I was 170 pounds, and then I'm 188 right now.
Wow. And how much have you grown?
Oh, two inches, I'd say.
Yeah, and you probably got a couple more to go, right?
You'd hope so, yeah.
That's the magic of being an 18-year-old again. You know, you still got some you got some time to grow. And by the time you get to the NHL, do you have to be a 200-pound guy, or do you play a little lighter than that?
I think I can be. I mean, the way I play is pretty, you know, in the middle of the ice and in the corners. I'm, you know, I don't play a soft game by any means. So, but I think just – my body, I take really good care of myself, with training and diet and all that. So I think I can for sure play at 200 pounds.
No five guys?
No five guys.
Okay. What's your, every person has a cheat food. What's your cheat food?
Ooh. Donair.
Oh, do they have good Donair in Seattle?
They don't even know what a Donair is there. Honestly. They don't know what it is. They don't have it.
Hey, Donair's a very Canadian thing there, Brayden. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I know. Or, like, Alberta. Like, there's one in Sher Park. There's probably 10 of them. And there's not – and Sher Park's not the biggest
town. I'm in Sherwood Park. I have lots of friends live out there.
Yeah, no, it's very popular here, though. Yeah.
Well, there's one on every corner in Toronto, too, and – all over the lower mainland when you get there. So that'll be, but just for the record, all the NBA players that move to Toronto love Donair. They think it's one of the great things. So you're not alone in loving Donair when it comes to your cheat food. So when you go out skate, what do you try to accomplish when you're skating? Are you doing skills, or are you just scrimmaging?
A bit of both. Guys I work with, it's, you know, skills and then game situation stuff, like play off the puck. You know, it's not the typical, you know, TikTok video skill drills that, you know, you see on the internet. It's more game related stuff. And then scrimmages too. On Fridays, we always have a games day where, because forwards and D are split throughout the week and kind of do their own thing. And then on Friday, we all get together and it's just all small area games, full ice, you know, 4-on-4. So yeah.
Describe a day right now. Like when you're getting up, are you up early and doing your workouts early, or what does your day entail?
No, I'm pretty lucky. It's not too early. Days that I skate, I'm usually up at 8, and then I work out at 9:30 till about 11:30. And then kind of, you know, drink a protein shake or try to get something quick to eat, go straight to the rink from the gym, skate from 12:30 to 1:30. And then, you know, depends what I'm doing that evening. I might go do it. It's called like True Movement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever, it's kind of like Pilates.
Oh yeah. It's
like some days I do that in the afternoon or I'll go golf. So,
And the magic about playing golf in Alberta is you can play until like 9:30 at night.
Oh yeah. You can play till like 10, 7 PM tee times, you know, quick 9 holes in. It's that never hurts.
That's cool. Well, listen, I'm really excited for you. I saw your family at the draft. They must have been thrilled. But some people think the draft's a celebration, but really, in many ways, it's just the beginning, not the end. Correct?
Yeah, it's just you just get a hat and a jersey, really, and an invitation to camp. So it's what you do after.
So when you you just tweaked me to a simple trivia question because I'm a bit of a trivia nut.
Oh.
When you get to the NHL, don't worry, no questions.
Oh,
when you get to well, if it was, I'd make it easy on you. I'd ask an Oilers question, because I know you know the Oilers better than the Canucks right now. So, when you get to the NHL, what number would you want to wear?
Probably on 86. Keep the number I have now. It's been working, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, remember that when you're wearing a regular 86 3 years from now and you're on a regular line for the Vancouver Canucks in that Western Conference Final. How's that?
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. That's Braden Coutts, the number 15 draft pick overall in the 2025 draft, a member of the Vancouver Canucks. I'm John Shannon on 100% Canucks. Landon and I'll be back after this.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks. Landon's back. Landon, by the way, Landon was AWOL for the interview with Braden because he was a big wig in New York City last week. But that's okay. We'll forgive him. Listening to Braden talk about his experience at the Combine and what's gone on in his life since being drafted, Landon, a little bit of deja vu?
A little bit. As soon as I heard him say he had 27 interviews, I just started laughing to myself because I had 27 myself. And I remember, you know, they're all stacked back to back to back. And, you know, you want to make a good impression. You want to make sure you get your best foot forward. I was sweating buckets in Toronto trying to get through that. And I remember I switched suits twice. I brought two, but I went, did a couple. I was sweated through that one. Went back to my room, quickly put the other one on. I had to do it again a couple after that. It's a lot to go through, but it's such a cool experience.
What do you think you learned about yourself going through the whole interview process? Forget about the fitness stuff. The fitness stuff is, I mean, you guys are all machines when it comes to looking after your bodies and staying in shape. But what do you think you learned about yourself when you're going through that interview process?
I think the biggest thing is just trying to learn to be comfortable in different situations, right? Like some of the teams you'd go in and they'd talk a little bit of hockey, but it would mostly just be kind of having a conversation and it was a bit easier. Then you'd have teams that you go in and you'd be sitting in your seat and everyone, you know, the 12, 13 adults in there would be sitting on the other side of the table, just peppering you with questions. And, you know, I also, when Braden was saying that, you know, one of the teams asked him to tell a joke, like I didn't get that one. But with Boston, I got there and it was my very last interview and it was theirs as well. And they kind of just looked at me and said, oh, we're pretty tired and we've asked a lot of questions. How about you run the interview? And I remember just sitting there, like it was a deer in headlights. And I don't know where I thought to say it, but right away I was just like, I'm going to be honest, guys, I'm pretty tired as well. So I don't really know where to take this meeting right now.
By the end of the interviews, did you have a sense of who was going to draft you or where you would go in the draft?
I mean, I had a couple different interviews that I thought went better than others. Not even that they were better, just it felt right. It felt like they were happy with my answers and could tell that I was being sincere. I wasn't just trying to put on a front to impress them. But it's funny, like none of those teams ended up taking me. And it was Detroit that, to be honest, like looking back over that time, like I don't even remember the meeting with Detroit. Like there's so many all at once, but again, like it's such an overwhelming experience, but at the same time, it's everything you've ever dreamed about. You have 27 teams in the NHL talking to you about why would you be a good fit with us? And, you know, again, like just even talking about it now, like it brings back some memories of like the jitters, but so much excitement. You have, you know, your entire career in front of you. Like it's a really exciting time.
And in talking to Braden about what it's been like since the draft, how long does it take you to get into the realization, holy smokes, I'm now going to try to earn a living for a long period of time playing the game I love. So I better get back in the gym. I better get back on the ice. Is there a time to celebrate?
Yeah, I mean, like I had a little little draft party once I got back from development camp in Detroit. You know, we went right there from the draft, right, essentially. And so I had a little dinner and had some fun with friends. But exactly like you said, it's something that, you know, and Braden said it perfectly, actually, in the sense of, like, all you get is a hat and a jersey. Everything after that's not promised, right? So right, as exciting as that is, you know, I remember right at development camp, I think it was a sixth rounder, he signed right away, and I was their first pick, and I didn't. And that was a big, you know, like, okay, I got to prove myself all over again here. And just a little, take us on a little side one. It's funny. So I didn't get drafted in the first day. My draft was in Montreal. I didn't get taken the first day, and that was pretty disappointing. I was ranked kind of right in the middle to late round in the first, and I slid through. And so, you know, you go back to the hotel, you got to pretend to try and get some sleep, but you're so, you know, you had so much going on in your head. And I got on the bus the next morning to go back to the Bell Center for the second day. And Steve Yzerman was sitting in, it was like the first or second row of the bus while he was still with Detroit at that time. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hey, Landon, how's it going?" And I'm like, "Hi, Mr. Yzerman." Like, you know, just, you know, nervous. And he said to me, he's like, "You know, just enjoy it. It's going to be a really quick day for you. Don't worry about it." They had the second pick in the second round. I had no idea to read through those lines, but looking back, it was a pretty cool moment.
I'm not sure that any 18-year-old could have read through the lines.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, I also want a truth serum here. Braden admitted that his cheat food was Donair. What yours is?
I mean, for me, it's always pizza. I don't even, like, you can have it morning, noon, or night. You can have it cold, hot. It's the best thing ever. But I will say, you know, I played my junior in Red Deer, and that was the first time I ever had a Donair. And that sweet Halifax sauce, oh, I was just dumping that on.
Very Canadian thing, you know, Donair. Very Canadian.
Yeah, I was very happy when I got told about that.
Okay, so a couple of the different issues. This is the first time we've chatted since Arthur Shelovs has been traded. What do you make of the trade? I'm not as much concerned about the return. There was a draft pick. There was one of the Stillman boys got traded to for Vancouver. But what about what Shelovs has done for this organization? Is this going to be a regretful day, or is this going to be a day that says he earned this opportunity?
I think it's more of a he earned this opportunity. And, you know, you look in Vancouver, they have Demko, they have Lankin, and, well, you're not beating one of those out in training camp. So he's going to have waivers. And so there's all that. But at the same time, you know, like I remember when I got put on waivers and moved, and Kenny Holland told me, and Jeff Blashill, who was a coach at the time, like, you deserve to get picked up, and we want to see that happen for you. Like, there is a business, but at the same time, they've seen in Shelovs a kid that has come in since he's been in the organization, and he's worked his tail off. He's done everything that's been asked of him. The coaching staff down in Abbotsford, they loved how he came in and really worked at his game and worked with Justin Pogge down in Abbotsford. And then he goes on that amazing run through the Calder, and like, he's earned the right to go give himself a chance to be a full-time NHLer. But on, you know, at the other side of it, they have Ty Young, and they have the goalie Medvedev. They just drafted, like
they just signed, right?
Yeah, and that's even forgetting Tolopilo as well. That's down in Abbotsford. Like, they have some really good young goaltenders that they feel very comfortable with. So it becomes a situation where, you know, we're running out of space, and this kid has done everything that we've asked of him. Mm-hmm. He deserves his chance as well. So I think for both sides, it's a good move.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see for Shelovs, at least from my perspective, the way the Pittsburgh situation is. You know, by Christmas time, he might be the starting goalie. He might be the number one guy in Pittsburgh, the way things are going for the Penguins right now, and the inconsistency that Tristan Jarry has lived through for the last little while. So that, to me, is a great place for Shelovs to go and to flourish. But I would tend to agree with you. When you think of Demko, when you think of Lankin, and both now on longer-term deals, there just was no place for him, and you weren't going to be in a position of carrying three goalies full-time on your roster. You just weren't. It's not – some teams tried to do it. It's just not practical. So to me, this was probably the best of a situation, and they got a draft pick and a body. And you're right. In September, they probably would have lost him on waivers anyway. So it just makes sense.
Let me ask you this, right? Like, you have when has the three goalie system really worked? When someone has to go up, like, there's only so much net. It's already hard enough trying to get two guys going. Now you're talking about a young kid that needs to get his reps. But you can't. What are you going to tell Demko you're not playing tonight or tomorrow because I got to get the other two in?
No, and quite frankly, the only way you have a three goalie system is if the first two goalies really don't grasp on to being number one, and you're trying to shoot fish in a barrel to find a way to get a goaltender that is your number one guy. It's one way or the other. I mean, the success rate of two man systems in playoffs is not very high. And really, the only time I recall a three-man goalie system taking a team in deep into the playoffs was in 2010 with the Philadelphia Flyers. In a series they lost against the Chicago Blackhawks, they had three goaltenders play in the Stanley Cup playoffs in 2010. The other thing that happened this week, Landon, was your trip to New York. I'd be curious to know what you went through. Tell everybody why you were there and what the NHL is trying to achieve.
Yeah, it was a really good experience. So the NHL, they started it last year where they do, you know, they have, you know, active, it's open for active players, but for alumni especially that are, you know, kind of more fresh out of playing to come into New York and try their hand at a couple different avenues on the media side. And, you know, so they had Kenny Albert teaching game prep and getting to call about 5 minutes of a game with him and showing what that part of the media side's about. You had Jody Shelley teaching kind of interview and being the third man in a broadcast team between the benches. Eddie Olczyk was teaching his style of being the color analyst, using the telestrator, which, by the way, I was terrible at drawing in school. I think I got worse as I've gotten older here as well. But he flew in. It was kind of a crash course in one day. Like I said, they started it last year and they got good response out of it. So there was nine of us that were there this year. And
fantastic.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was something to try and pull as much info out of a small amount of time.
Well, and either the other way to do it for you is just, you know, go have dinner with your dad. You could just do that. You know what I mean? Because right now there's nobody better in the business than Ray Ferraro. You know that.
That's true. And I definitely listen to him. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I'm 34. You don't always want to ask dad, what should I be doing here? It's nice to hear someone else tell you.
You know, it's funny you say that because that's exactly right. No matter how good he is, he's still dad. And sometimes there's something in your DNA you just don't want to listen to.
Pretty much. Someone else could say the exact same thing. You're like, you're a genius. But when dad says, you're like, okay, just leave me alone for a couple minutes here, could you?
Well, the other thing is we can do, you know, the better training for you too is to maybe do another podcast. And so we will do that next week. Our guest next week will be the new associate coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Scott Young. And we will talk all about what Scott Young, who has had a great NHL career, as Adam talked about with us on one of the earlier shows we did, Scott was one of his teammates in Colorado. He was one of the great American snipers at a time when, you know, the Americans were still the number two team, a number two program in the world. I actually think right now they might be closer to number one than they are number two. And I don't want everybody in Canada mad at me about that, but it's going to be
happy you said it and not me.
Well, I know I tend to stick my nose out every once in a while and make a mistake, but that's okay. But next week, Scott Young is going to talk to us about what his role is with the Canucks and exactly what to expect when he sits and talks with all the forwards. So for Landon Ferraro, I'm John Shannon. Thanks for listening or watching 100% Canucks.